Amen. You may be seated.
It's my pleasure now to introduce our guest speaker today, Ms. Jennifer Bennett. She's a missionary with World Gospel Mission, and she serves in many medical ministries in Kenya. And recently, she was put on the board of the Tenwick Hospital, which is a very, very long-standing mission in Kenya. And now, welcome Jennifer.
Thank you. It is just a real privilege and an honor to be here. I had the chance to be here 3 years ago. I had just finished 2 years in Lagos, Nigeria, and was heading back. And later that year, God just closed the door to Nigeria and opened the door to Kenya. And I am just so grateful. I am a nurse practitioner. That's what all those letters mean. I'm a registered nurse and a family nurse practitioner. And now I work in Nairobi, Kenya, with the least of these ministries, working with Robin Moore. I know some of you have been to Kenya and actually have met Robin. She is my colleague. And just amazing that God, the doors he opens. And I had met Robin several years before that when we had went from Nigeria to Kenya for our retreat, because there's not many places to retreat in Nigeria. And so I remember meeting Robin, and she was like, oh, you should come to Kenya. I need some help. And I'm like, no, I don't think God wants me in Kenya. Well, apparently God wants me in Kenya. So I've been now, over the past 2 years, working and serving in Kenya, and it's just my absolute heart. Getting to work with orphans, special needs children, children with HIV, those that have been abandoned or abused. Those are what our ministry focuses on. So I do work with the least of these ministries. Okay. And it's based on Matthew 25:40, which says, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did for me. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was sick, and you looked after me. So one of the things, what our ministry does, it kind of has three legs to it, with the whole least of these, or LOT as we shorten it. The first thing we do is we help with food. This is my kitchen. I was making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, just like in the U.S. Kids in Kenya like peanut butter and jelly, too. And one thing with peanut butter and jelly, it is very nutritious. A lot of the kids we work with have been very neglected and are malnourished, and so we provide peanut butter every month to the homes that we partner with. Our ministry serves 12 different places all around Nairobi. The farthest is the AGC, the Africa Gospel Church Baby Center, which is about 4 hours away in Dakuru. But we partner with them to provide peanut butter. We do fortified porridge, milk, fruit. Kenya is very blessed. It grows a lot of things, but one of the things they're unable to grow is apples, and apples are very nutritious, so we have to import them from South Africa. But we provide those. This is Bernard. Oh, go back. This is Bernard on the previous slide. Yes, he is runs one of the boys' homes that is called Tony Lamaji, which means drop of water. And there's about 26 boys, all from the age of about 10 to 17. So you can imagine the food that they can put away in a month. So we help supply fortified porridge that has good vitamins. Those two white bags, those are actually 20-kilo bags, and we give them about two a month. And so that's 44 pounds. That's actually 84 pounds, 88 pounds of porridge that we give them every month, plus rice, eggs, milk. One of our girls' homes actually raises chickens, and so we have now been purchasing our eggs from them, so it helps give an income to the girls' home, and then plus provides eggs for our other homes. This next picture is our group. As Robin is in the back. She's actually been in Kenya 39 years. She was at Tenwa Hospital for 23 years and ran the pediatric ward there, and then she's been in Nairobi since then. On the far end, you see me, and then there's April. April is our teacher. She works and lives at the baby center, really specializing in kids with special needs. She started also learning Kenya Sign Language, and has even, now we've started going in and partnering with a hearing impaired classroom in Nairobi that she comes. She lives at the baby center, but every 5 weeks she'll spend a week in Nairobi to help work with our kids, help us with, you know, the clinics we may have. She goes and even tutors one-on-one with some of the children. And then we have a couple of our high school students, and then the girl on the very end with the hat and the glasses, that is Esther. Esther actually just had eye surgery at Tenwick. She's in college to be an electrical engineer, and just an amazing story, just really loves the Lord. Robin was just talking with her about a few weeks ago, met with her, and was trying to find out more of her story. It turned out that Esther's mom died when she was 14. She never knew her family or her father, and she came to live at that children's home. And Robin was telling her, you know, she said, your father really missed a blessing. And that just really struck her. She had never really thought of it that way. And so we've been trying to be involved in our kids. As nurse practitioners, sometimes you can get so focused on the medical aspect. We also want to focus on the emotional, the just the social. And so we, a lot of times, we'll take the kids out for a meal. We'll take them for chicken and pizza or something special like that as a treat. Here you see we're at one of the clinics, or eating some bananas and the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches that we provided. And again, more peanut butter and jelly. And of course, ice cream. Who doesn't love a good old ice cream cone? So we're very blessed that we can do this, that we have supporters that care. And that's what we were able to tell our kids. We're like, you know, God loves you so much that he sent us all the way from the U.S. to tell you that. And also that people love you and care about you, that they provide treats like that for you. So the other arm of our ministry is medical care. This picture is our cardiologist. He's a pediatric cardiologist in Nairobi. He's a really great physician, is a great resource. Even will give us good discounts on getting all the echocardiograms, the ultrasound of the hearts, because we see a lot of kids with murmurs, and some of them have actually had to have heart surgery. And so we've been very blessed that he partners with us to check our kids and keep an eye on them. The next picture is at one of our medical clinics. The doctor in the back giving us the symbol there that she is Jana McLeod. She is a Canadian surgeon and partners with our ministry, because at this home there's about 100 kids. So that's a lot for Robin and myself to see just in one morning. And so the other guy is a doctor, Dr. Pete Olson, who was at Tenwick for several years, and now he's back in the States. And Jen Bale, I don't know if any of you have been able to come to Kenya and go to, she runs an infant rescue center with her husband called Mahali Pa Maisha, and that means place of life. And they'll take babies from, like, newborn, I'm talking like hours old, all the way up to like 3 years. And so she partners with us to help us, you know, do the medicines when we go to the clinics, and then we go into her center and help check the kids. Matter of fact, right before I came, we were doing a clinic at the girls' home, and they were on their way to help us, and they got a call to go pick up a baby that had just been born that morning. So, I mean, it was literally like 2 hours old. And so I checked it out, and the baby was doing very good. But, you know, that was a real shock to me, how many children are abandoned over there and just thrown away. But, you know, God sees them, we see them, and we get to love on these kids and let them know that they matter. And then here's some pictures of us just doing, or me doing some clinics. And one of the cool pictures is the one on your right is my nephew. My sister and her husband and my nephew were able to come to Kenya last year and spend 9 days and go to, we're actually at the Bell's place, the infant rescue center. He's holding a little boy. His name is Emmanuel. And it really struck Grant. Grant is 9. He'll be at 10 next week. That, you know, that little baby was thrown away, and even cotton was shoved in the nose and the mouth, I think, trying to kill the child. But somebody heard the child and saved it and then got it in, and now the child is, since then, it's the little boy has been adopted into his forever family, so that was a blessing and a praise. And just, you can see, we just check kids from head to toe. Some of the places we go to, like the Infant Rescue Center, we go every month because they have little babies much more fragile, so we go and check them out, and course, they're always getting in new babies. They just, at the home, they just got one in this past week. And then some of the older, the other places we go in every 3 months, because the kids, we go and check them when they're on their school break. And so we do like what I'm doing in the other pictures, listen to their heart, their lungs, check them from head to toe, give them medicine for deworming and vitamins. And then we also, in addition to medical checks, you can go to the next one, we do eyeglasses. We have a great optometrist in Nairobi who partners with us, does not charge us to do any eye exam, and then we just pay for the glasses. And this is one of our high school students that just picked out her brand new glasses for school. And then the other girl on your left is Maggie with a beautiful smile. We help also do dental care to keep beautiful smiles just like her. She is at a special needs school called Heshima, which means dignity in Swahili. That's her mother behind it. And it's just an amazing place in Nairobi. If you ever get a chance to come and visit, we always try to take our teams there because it's just amazing. Even the BBC, the British newscasting, 2 years ago did a special on Kenya and in rural villages where mothers were encouraged to kill their special needs children. And this couple just had a burden for special needs kids. They had a son, an American couple, that was born at 22 weeks of gestation. And so he was in the hospital, almost died several times, and Simon is a miracle. And he now is their, like, preacher. He'll give the morning messages in chapel. And so they started this special needs school because there was nothing like that for kids. I mean, a lot of times the children are hidden away. Many are abandoned. We see a lot of them that have been abandoned, and they're in our homes that we work with now. And so Heshima is a day school. They want to not only take the child and provide for the child, but they want to support the family. So they hire the moms. They work in a couple of things. They have a jewelry business. This is actually one of their necklaces they made called Dignity Designs. I have a few pieces on the table downstairs. Sorry, I did not bring any to sell or anything. I didn't have enough space to do that. But so they do that. And you can also on Amazon, on the Amazon Smile, you can type in Heshima. They're based out of Minnesota. And you can even, sometimes they can get donations that way through things you purchase on Amazon. But so they hire the moms to work in the jewelry business. They hire them as teachers if they're qualified, or assistant teachers, cooks, cleaners. And they also have a water business. They have a borehole that They do. And when they first had the well, you know, had the water, because in Kenya, if you've ever been there, you know, water is a privilege. It's not a right. Some the people will travel very far carrying jugs of water because they have no running water. And so in the local community, when they first came and were selling the water, they would sell it below market price. So it was cheaper, but then it was good, clean water. They didn't want to buy the water because they were scared you could catch autism or Down syndrome. And so now it's been a great tool to educate those of that's not possible. And then you'll see people when you go to the school always walking down the street carrying the water that they just purchased. So again, gives one of the moms a job. And at this is the parts of the school. You can see the picture on the left, that's their jewelry handicraft area. And the one on the right is kind of the play area. The main building is to the right. You can't really see it, but you can see there's the walkway going up. Everything is handicap accessible, handicap bathrooms in the rooms. It's just an amazing place. And it's like, you know, they believe what we believe, that, you know, children, all children are created in the image of God. And so we celebrate these kids. We do all that we can to help with them. And then in this next picture, you'll see that this is the physical therapy room. That's Kibet. He's one of the physical therapists, and so he's working with one of the children. And that's another classroom. You can see very big, spacious areas. They all have age-appropriate toys. One day I was there, and the older class, they have a life skills class for older children, was making chapatis. And if you've been to Kenya, you know chapatis is like looks like a thick flour tortilla that Kenyans, and I love to eat them. They're delicious. And so they were making chapatis and then selling them. And then one day they were doing money classes where they had money and they were learning to count money and like pretending if they went to the market, how would they buy this? So, you know, they want to, you know, take and really teach these children. So it's just amazing. In addition to physical therapy, they have occupational therapy, speech therapy. They have even a sensory room for children with autism. So it's just a really amazing place. I love Hajima. So the third thing we do is education. This is Robin and myself at the boys' home, and they're all holding their Bibles. We have a Bible program where if they memorize 10 verses, they can get a Bible. And all those boys the day we did the clinic had said their verses and earned their Bibles. And then this is our hearing impaired classroom. Like I said, April, our colleague, started volunteering in this and learning Kenya Sign Language. It's a little bit different from American Sign Language. And so going in there, it's located in a slum, actually pretty close to where Robin lives in Kibera. And many of the children there, they have parents, but they're extremely poor. And so the teacher came to us because we started providing porridge and peanut butter for their morning snack because some kids could afford to bring a snack, some kids did not have a snack. So at least that way all the children got a very nutritious snack. And he said some of the kids really need school uniforms. All the kids in Kenya wear uniforms. And so our group was able to get the uniforms for these kids, you know, and you can see they're giving us and then thanking everyone for providing those uniforms. And it's been really neat. We've been able to go into the classrooms and do Bible stories. This next slide is Elizabeth. She's in the back on the left. She's one of our high school students, and this is her mom, Maggie. Maggie is a dear, dear friend of mine, and just really amazing, her story. Husband was very abusive. She had to leave for safety's sake and for Elizabeth, and had to even quit school so she could support her daughter. And so she started as a house helper, like a live-in maid. And at age 10, she had to put Elizabeth into boarding school because she couldn't have her there in the home with her. And this year has been really hard for Elizabeth. Elizabeth is one of our sponsor students. She's really struggled. She's a sophomore. She's in 10th grade. And she's had a lot of time trouble with bullies. And I know some of us all can relate to having problems with bullies. She's been having some girls that's been mean. And then even earlier in the year, 7 men attacked her school. None of the girls were assaulted, but Elizabeth and some of the other girls actually got injured as they were running away. Elizabeth hurt her arm. So, you know, just all that combined to having a really rough time. And so when Elizabeth was home on her school break, Robin knows of a good Christian counselor in Nairobi, and we were able to get her into some counseling. And even the counselor wanted Maggie to come with her, and Maggie told me later, she's like, I had no idea. She went into the counseling to the family session, and Elizabeth had issues of abandonment from Maggie having to put her into boarding school when she was only 10 years old, and she said, I never knew that. And she said, this was so healing. And so she's been able to follow up with Elizabeth and everything. And so in this other picture, this is us at Christmas with her niece too, because her niece was having some trouble with the stepmom and was being very abusive to her. So Maggie even took the niece in and let her live with her and Elizabeth. And so now we just need prayer for Elizabeth. That's one of the prayer requests. Maggie, I think, is trying to switch her into a different school, just one, because the school she's in now is like 8 to 10 hours away, so it's very far. And so trying to find her a school that's closer, and then even maybe pulling her out for this fall, because they go 3 terms a year, they go all year round, pulling her out and maybe doing some extra counseling, even some tutoring to kind of get her, because her grades this year are just taking a dive. She's just had such stressors on her, and we've seen it in her grades. And so that's what we're praying now, this, you know, that God would guide Maggie to finding her a new school, and that, you know, if we do need to keep Elizabeth out, maybe just do some one-on-one tutoring and then basically have her repeat this year, because it's just been such a bad year for her. So remember Elizabeth in your prayers. This was such a fun day we got to do. In eighth grade in Canada, you take a major test. I think a lot of our teachers in here will know about all the testing, milestone testing here. Well, they do a huge test for all the eighth graders, and it's you talk about pressure. It really decides what high school they get into. And if they get into a good high school, they might get scholarships, and it also determines, you know, if they don't get into a great school. And all the scores are posted, so all the kids know what every other kid, what they are ranked at the home or wherever they're at in their school. And so Robin had this amazing idea for us to get all the kids together and kind of do a pizza party, get some chicken, and just really encourage them. And so we did that, and we made up little goodie bags that had, like, juice, that had the pencils they needed, some crackers and biscuits, some dried fruit, and gave all the kids a goodie bag. And we had pizza and chicken. We got ice cream. I think we had cupcakes. And just really try to encourage these kids that, you know, we are praying for you. And we have a book, and I actually have it on the table downstairs. It's called No Matter What. And it's just a little cute little kid story about, like, well, if I was a crocodile, would you still love me? Or if I was a squishy bug or a grizzly bear. And it basically says, you know, no matter what, I'll always love you. And so Robin, you can see her in the back of the picture reading the book, and we're in the mall. We actually kind of took over this whole eating area. And she's reading this story to the kids and said, you know, no matter what your test scores are, that we will love you, we support you. And we're like, you know, people love and care about you to provide this meal. People provided this. And so it was really neat, because it really struck me. You know, I was blessed with parents that encouraged me. And I thought, who encourages these kids? I mean, they're in really good homes. The homes we work with are amazing, but when you have 75, 100 kids, they're not getting the attention, you know, that, you know, a child and a family would get. And so that really just impacted me. And so we've been really trying to be more focused on, you know, of course, keeping the medical needs, all the everything that's there, but also that emotional component and just letting the kids know. Rob and I recently sat down with a student. He was not in a home that we helped, that's actually closed, who's now working to help kids when they age out of children's homes, you know, because they don't have family, they don't have support. He said when he was growing up, nobody called him by name, nobody touched him, and then if they had visitors come, they would have to perform. And that just really struck us. And we went to our homes and we're like, you know, we bring in a lot of people. They're like, oh, but you have a relationship with us, it's different. You come in, you support us. Robin's been going to some of these homes for 13 years, because that's how long she's been in Nairobi, and has followed some of these kids that long. So she said, no, it's different. So we just realized that we really want to encourage these kids, that we want to show them that, you know, God loves them so much, that we love them and we care about them, that they're not alone. And so that was something fun that we did, and I think we plan to do it every year now. This is at the wall at Hashima. I love it. It has the verse from Micah 6:8, and it's just one of the rooms that they have there with pictures of their kids. So now here I'll tell you some stories from the field of some kids that I've really, really worked with the past two and a half years. The first one is Toby. Toby came in July of 2017 to the home. He was found abandoned in a house, had 104 fever, had like 8 layers of clothes. They never found his family. And so this was him when he came. And you can see he has Down syndrome. The picture on the right is me checking him. I'm actually checking him in a parking lot. We meet a lot of times in a mall parking lot, and we'll have dinner together or something, and then we'll check the children when they come in. But he was very malnourished. He was very small. We really don't know how old he is. We kind of had a guess based on his age, teeth, and just kind of looking at him. So we imagine he's probably almost now about 4. We thought he was about 18 months then. So Toby loves to make funny faces. That's like his thing. He'll like cut his eyes at you like, what are you talking about? And it's just so neat to see him come from that first picture to now how he is doing. And he loves to make faces. And, like, this just, like, completely melted my heart. He, like, one day I was checking and we were at the center. And he just grabbed my face and started, you know, mimicking everything I did and just, you know, has his hands on my cheeks. And even at the home where he's at now, they're teaching him sign language. He's not speaking yet, but he's starting to, well, he is speaking a little. He's starting to, I think he's saying dada. But he's starting to say a few words, but he's learning sign language. And this is him now. He's not walking, but he can sit by himself. The place that he's at, they had a team come from the U.S. and put in a pool. And so they have like a therapy pool, which has been great to do the strengthening of his muscles and his core. So, you know, I'm hoping one day that he will be walking very soon. He's standing. And so I have a click it one more time. That should play the video. Oh, I guess it didn't. Okay. Anyway, I have a video of him blowing me kisses. So, but that was that. So this is what he came from. Robin just sent me this picture about a month ago. This is him sitting up by himself. Is it working? No, it's not going to work. So anyway, this is him when he first came, and then this is Toby now. So you can just see how much brighter he is. Like I said, he's signing now, and he's just doing so well. And so, yeah. So the next little girl, this is Mary Rose. Mary Rose was found abandoned on a major, major highway, and it was just by the grace of God that she wasn't hit by a car. She was very sick. Jen, who runs the home, actually, she's a tough Indiana farm girl, called me crying. Said when she was taking off her tights and checking her out, she found there was huge sores on her legs. So I said, you've got to immediately take her in to the hospital. That's more than what we can manage out outside. So this is her, when she, the very first day they got her. And this is when I saw her after she got out of the hospital. You see, she still has her IV in. We were given IV antibiotics still at home. But she was so weak, she could not even pull herself sitting. I had to pick her up. She didn't speak for months. She was very malnourished. And kids in Africa that are malnourished, their hair will be very thin, it'll be very straight, and it'll be very sparse. And it's hard to tell from this picture, but she has hardly no hair because she was so malnourished. She weighed, I think, 11 pounds, and we figured she was about 2 years old. So this was in 2017. And you can see this is her. When we, I actually had met Dave and Jen to check another child, and they had her with her, and she's eating a rib, you know, girl after my own heart, love ribs. But you can, if you can kind of see how her hair is very light, and even her legs, I mean, if you look, her legs are just tiny, and this is her at the hospital. She ended up having to go into the hospital a couple times, and she's a true miracle. I remember there was one night, it was on a Sunday. Dave and Jen called me, and she had got this weird rash, and it had broken out like on her abdomen area with these blisters. And then as the day progressed, it spread. It got worse. She spiked up a high fever. We even took her to get her blood checked, and it was showed an extremely high infection. Well, by the time we got everything back, it was late, too late at night. They couldn't get out to take her to the hospital. So I remember that night, you know, praying, just, you know, did she have meningitis? What was going on? And just, I remember getting on my knees and sending it out and asking people to pray because she was so sick. So the next morning they got her to the hospital. I even talked to the doctors at Tenwick, sent them the pictures of the rash, showed them everything. They even went and to several different doctors, and they all consulted on her and, you know, were not exactly sure what was going on. Turned out she didn't have meningitis. She just had some severe infection. They wasn't exactly sure what, but she responded well to the antibiotics, but it wasn't the antibiotics that really healed her. It was God and Jesus. I love Tin Wick saying that we treat, Jesus heals. And I believe that with all my heart that, you know, Jesus healed her. You know, I think the medicines did help, but Jesus touched this little girl's life. And this is how she looks now. I don't know if it'll play the video or not. It won't. Okay. I have a video of her saying, I love you. And that's huge because it's just so cute. She's smiling and everything. And go to the next picture. It's fine. But this was where she is now in this picture on the right. So she went from this picture on the left to now singing. She jumps. She sings Jesus Loves Me. She jumps after bubbles. And you can see her hair is now nice and thick. It's actually shaved now because she's growing it. And she's doing so well. And this little girl next to her is Mercy, who actually just got adopted earlier this year and went into her forever family. So pray for Mary Rose. Mary Rose is HIV positive. And there's several kids in the home at where she's at that are all HIV positive, and nobody's wanted to adopt them. And unfortunately, right now, adoptions are closed in Kenya to non-Kenyans. It's just not even possible. I even looked into if I could even be a guardian for Toby, and because the home asked me, and they're like, but then they checked about it and said it's still not possible because I'm not Kenyan. So that's a real prayer request, which I'll get into later. But Mary Rose is doing so good, and I wish you could hear her sweet little voice. It's just precious. So this is it was supposed to be Alex, my ex cut off. He was one of the, this is his mom, Lillian. She came to one of the Girls Rescue Centers in December of last year, and he was extremely malnourished. I'm 18 months old, and he weighed 10 pounds and was extremely sick. He was in the hospital, and then when we saw him, this is the first picture. He was actually, that was on the day of discharge. He looked much better because he was so malnourished. He just would not even respond. He just had no energy. And then he has two holes in his heart, and so we actually were able to get him to Tenwick Hospital and get him evaluated, but he's just not medically stable enough. He needs to be older to do heart surgery. So we're really working on nutrition with him and his mom. And so this was him in the middle. We had taken him to see our cardiologist, David, just so he has a person in Nairobi to get sick. And you can see he's actually playing with the straws. I remember the other time when I checked him, he started messing with my stethoscope, which when we first saw him in the hospital, he wouldn't even respond. So, and this is Alex that Robin just sent me. You can see he's smiling. He's happy. He's definitely gaining weight. His hair is getting more thick. And so he just shows you what, you know, good love of God and good nutrition can do for a child. And this is my buddy Maggie. I don't know if any of, if Jenny Fuller's met Maggie or not. Robin's known Maggie for a long time. She's been at the Girls Rescue Center. And Maggie has had a lot of medical conditions. And, you know, so every time we're with Maggie, we try to do this for her. We try to take her, he can skip to the next slide, for chicken, because she loves chicken. So, you know, we don't know how much time God is going to give Maggie, but we just try to impress on her that we love her, and that, and she looks like she's about 14, but she's actually 21 years old, and she has no family. And the girls' home where she's at said that she will always have a place there. She's at a rescue center called Kara, and it's just an amazing. She's great. She loves to help with the little babies that they get and everything. So we tease Maggie all the time about being cuckoo crazy. Cuckoo is chicken in Swahili. And so, you know, I thought anytime we can, we try to just, you know, let her know that we love her and take her out and treat her with a little chicken dinner. Because chicken, I mean, in Kenya, it's not expensive by our standards, but it is if you're in a children's home. The only time they get it is when visitors or somebody bring it in. And so that's one thing our ministry does about every year at Christmas. God has provided for at least of these ministries where we're able to give all the children a gift. And then we all take chicken and pizza and just have a lot of fun, play games with them, and just let them know that we love them and that God loves them. I still had more slides. Is that? Oh, I had some more on there. That's okay. One of the other ones I had a picture of is a little boy named Neville. And Neville was at Hashima. And earlier this year, he got really, really sick. Neville, when he was born, had fluid on the brain, had hydrocephalus, and had to have a shunt put in, and did very, very well. He was actually one of the high-functioning kids at Hashima. And would play the drums, and would even one of the little boys in a wheelchair, he would push them around, and was just such a joy and a blessing. Well, early this year, he got really sick and in the hospital, and Jesus chose to heal him in heaven. And that was really, you know, difficult because, you know, just reconciling that. And, you know, I don't understand, you know, I don't understand why he healed Mary Rose, but not Neville. But I know God is good, and I know I can trust him. And one of the things that was just so healing for me was being able to go to his memorial service at the school with April and Robin. We all went. And one of the things that struck me, when the director went and talked about Neville, he said that when Jesus saw him, he told him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And it just hit me. I thought, I never thought of him saying that to a child. But I thought, you know what? He did. He loved Jesus with his whole heart. He lived his purpose, even though it was for only 12 years. And I just thought, it just really encouraged me that, you know, it doesn't matter how old, how young we are, we can all make a difference for God. And we all want him to say, when we get to heaven, him to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So just pray for Mama Neville, as we call her, and his whole family, as they're still grieving his loss. But I know he's jumping and dancing around in heaven, not encumbered by anything on this earth and stuff. But so the other slide I have that's not, can't show, but it's up, it kind of had just areas of how to pray. And so I ask you to pray for our special needs kids like Toby. Pray for our children with HIV. Pray that they can get adopted, or that God would move the hearts of Kenyans to adopt them, or that he would move the hearts of the lawmakers to open adoption internationally so these kids could get into forever homes. I mean, Jesus was in a family, and I believe that's God's best, is to have those kids in families. And our centers do an amazing job getting these kids in, but no family wants this child. But that's one thing. It's just been amazing. I get to love on these kids and let them know that they matter. You know, they matter to God. They matter to me. They matter to you. So we ask you to pray for that. Pray for all of our kids at our homes that, you know, we can continue to provide the medical care, the food, the support like that. And then another pressing need is pray for Robin. She's going to be retiring in a few years. And so we are really in need of another nurse practitioner, a physician's assistant, a PA to join the ministry. Because I told her, I said, well, you have help, so you got to work till you're 70. And she's like, I've been in Kenya for 39 years. But anyway, so Robin's actually coming to the U.S., and we're going to the Global Missions Conference in November in Louisville trying to recruit. So that's a big prayer request. If you could pray that God will lay, because we could even use another nurse practitioner now. Our ministry has just gotten so big. And pray for the children that are being adopted. I had a picture, which I can show you later on my phone, and it has a couple that just adopted a little boy from one of the homes, and he has a bib on that says, I look like my mommy and daddy. And I thought, how cute is that? So just pray that these kids can get in their forever families and stuff. And I just want to thank you all for your continued support and prayer these past 3 years. It's just been a blessing. And I have prayer cards on the back if you're interested in partnering with us. One of the proverbs, one of the sayings I like, this old African saying, it says, the eye never forgets what the heart has seen. So today I hope that you've seen with your heart. You'll remember our kids, remember Toby and Mary Rose and Elizabeth and Maggie, you know, and say a prayer for them that, you know, we can continue to provide what they need and everything. And two, also get involved. Come and see us. I'm so happy to talk to several of you in here that have been to Kenya. And so I have two guest rooms. I love to host people. So you're always welcome to come. But, you know, get involved locally. You know, you don't have to travel all the way to Kenya to make a difference. You know, God plants us in unique places. Mine just happens to be across the sea a bit. But, you know, there might even be some kids in here that maybe one day will be in Africa replacing me. So who knows what the Lord has. So I was like, you know, get involved. You know, just ask God to, where can you make a difference in? Because we all can make a difference. Just like Neville, we all want Jesus to say that to us. And so I really appreciate your prayers, your support. I have some prayer cards on the back. And I ended with a verse in Isaiah. It was, I think, Isaiah 1:17. And it's kind of like, you know, why Kenya, why this? And it's like, I can't remember it all off the top of my head, but it's like, defend the oppressed, or seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless and of the widow. So, you know, that's why we do what we do. We need to seek justice. We need to seek justice for these kids that, you know, might have been thrown away by their parents or by, you know, people. And just some of them have been thrown in toilets and pit latrines and thrown on the side of the road. But you know what? God sees them. And so we need to seek justice and defend their case and plead their case. And so I just thank you. I look forward to talking with you more today. And if you have any questions, I'd love to hear that. And of course, again, if you want to come to Kenya, I got a room ready. Thank you.
I invite you to stand as we sing our closing hymn. As Jennifer has answered the call to Kenya, I want to remind us that we're all missionaries right here in our own community. So let's answer the call ourselves. I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am.